We are going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
Good, I'm tired.
Oh, I'm keeping that in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next stage. I'm Toby Vince, and I will be your host for this episode. Today, we are joined by Evie Waddle, the writer and performer of Fauchi Gu BSL, or in English, Welcome to BSL. This is a very special piece. It's an exploration of Scottish culture through the eyes of British Sign Language. What we're going to do for this episode, because this is a piece primarily designed for deaf audiences, though of course if you're not deaf, you're more than welcome to come along and watch it. I would highly encourage that you do. We are going to include an episode transcript in the description that you can click and read along to the episode. Take a listen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next stage. Today we are joined by Evie, writer and performer of Fauchi Gu BSL. Hello, Evie.
Hello, Toby. How
All
are
right.
you?
I'm very good this morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm just gonna crack open this coffee.
Yeah,
It's
but all of a sudden we've become an ASMR podcast.
I couldn't hear it actually. I've got my headphones on.
No, honestly, I don't blame you for starting out with the coffee. We've got a good chat ahead of us about the show. So I'll get straight into things. So, Fauchi Gu BSL, can you talk to us a little bit about the show? So tell us what's it about, and can you give us a little bit of insight into the early development of the show and why you wanted to pursue it as a subject?
Sure. Well, right, tell you a bit about the show. I made an hour-long performance piece that's in Scots Gaelic, with British Sign Language throughout and incorporated into the piece. And yeah, it's mainly different Scottish songs, but there's also different dance styles in the show, mainly Scottish styles of dance and a bit of contemporary. There's old Gaelic songs from way back, and then there's also some new ones written by contemporary Gaelic writers. So yeah, there's a lot of tradition in the past and also trying to innovate a bit as well. Yeah, and I wanted, yeah, when I was starting out, the show to have moments the audience can join in a bit like a ceilidh. So I like to say I'm not the best at BSL and I'm not the best at Gaelic, but I tell myself that's okay. I'm trying, I'm learning, I'm sharing, and hopefully I'm making sense, some sense.
Of course, of course. And I suppose as audience members, there's going, obviously, whilst this is a show tailored towards deaf audiences, there's definitely going to be audience members there, I imagine, who will want to learn about Gaelic and BSL. So it's good that, you know, we're not up, I don't think audience members are expecting perfection, if that makes sense. It's a great introduction to BSL and Gaelic for audiences, which I mean, the title literally translates in English to "Welcome to BSL," so it definitely works for that as a subject. And also the cross-disciplinary nature of the piece makes it really exciting and quite fresh, I think.
Yeah, and then the initial idea—it's also a welcome to Gaelic, so feel like different audience members can take away different things, and yeah, it's definitely not just for deaf audiences, but that's important to me because I'm completely deaf in one ear. Because I don't feel that confident in both languages, I had a Gaelic consultant as well as a BSL consultant in the translation process. So I like trying not to lose any of the nuance and the details in each language.
I mean, exploring languages and communication is really at the heart of this project, I think, because, you know, you've mentioned there's a mixture of traditional and contemporary songs that are written in Gaelic and then translated into written English and then forwarded into British Sign Language. So, you've touched on this a little bit, but what would you say were the challenges you faced whilst translating your work to match the needs of the project?
I would say, any type of fusion work, infusing so many different things. It's important. I want all of them to be heard and respected. And I also don't want to tokenize anything. And I think it's important for me to be recognized as an artist instead of just like a deaf artist or a Gaelic artist. Really like not keeping these things separate, these parts of my identity. And I guess a challenge was my brain, singing in Gaelic and signing in BSL. You're working in three different languages. Yeah, and I learned English first, spoken English. So yeah, that is still involved in the process in my brain.
Yes.
And I guess the challenge is I'm the only person I know who's deaf and signs and does Gaelic. I'm trying it out. There's no established Gaelic sign language to my knowledge.
No.
So I feel like I'm starting from scratch. I mean, a lot of it is British sign language, but with Gaelic lip pattern. But in the future, I'd like to create more of a Gaelic sign language.
Are there like certain words or phrases in Gaelic that only make sense in Gaelic? Like when you put them into English, they sort of lose their meaning or their intensity, and then translated into British Sign Language. Did you find that there was any challenges when it came to that? Would you say?
Oh yeah, nearly. Yeah, most things.
Yeah. I suppose that's part of the challenge though, isn't it? And I think that's what makes this piece really interesting, is that you get a hint through English what like the beauty that Gaelic has as a language, and then having that interpreted through BSL as well really adds a beautiful another layer to it, I think.
Yeah, I think in the future when I tour this more, I might want on the projector, you can see the English words and the Gaelic words together. That might be quite interesting for the audience to see. But for this show, I thought there's enough going on and that it was important to see the signing and the Gaelic without complete meaning for hearing English speaking audiences. So they'll be a little bit lost.
Yes.
Throughout this, but I guess that's them experiencing, exclusion from language a little bit, but they can find enjoyable ways in, and yeah, a bit of a guessing game. But also, they might not want to guess what the story is about. They might just want to enjoy how it's being played around with on the stage through dance and things like that.
I think that conversation about accessibility when it comes to theatre, it's a topic that rightly so has a growing demand, and you have various theatre houses been asked to explore avenues to ensure their work's more accessible or available for audiences with additional requirements. I mean, obviously it's not the same as being deaf, but right now I think the big one that theatres look into is the idea of relaxed performances that are usually for younger audience members with autism. That's an example. So I'm just quite curious, what steps from your personal perspective would you say artists and theatre practitioners can take in order to make sure their work is more accessible for deaf audiences?
Well, of course, captioning, like this podcast has, yay. that's not always the case. I'm doing some work at the moment, like helping to create a deaf audit for performance venues, like specifically music venues, because I feel like there are a lot of hard of hearing musicians, and yeah, a lot of them don't admit their deafness and that it impacts their life, and I didn't do that for a long time. And it's a complicated picture to write, as deaf people have many different experiences and what technologies they use and things like that. But yeah, I think that'll be really useful, because a lot of people think deaf people can't do music.
I think that you are right. Having closed captions in performances just as an option, or like having specific performances dedicated to that should be definitely a mainstream thing for like the major theatres. I suppose when it comes to smaller work, like with Fringe, I think that there's, yep, that's an avenue that can honestly be explored quite easily as well, I think. Just by assuming you're having, let's say, a traditional play, so something that is going to be a constant, then you could have, then it could be a case of, like you say, having a projector on the back with captions or to the side of the stage, and just having that as an option as well. I think like those very simple moves of making sure that theatre and work, just that added level of accessibility to it, I think adds a whole new dimension to what the work could mean.
Yeah, so being a deaf musician has many barriers, and you know, often hearing people think, you know, it's an invisible thing for me because I speak, and you know, one doesn't work and one does work. But people think you have enough to get by, and yeah, I just hope there becomes more awareness for, you know, this not just Evelyn Glennie sort of thing, and I'm discovering more musicians I'd like to meet and play with one day. So traditional music, you learn by listening, like that's the tradition of it, which is tricky for me because I often doubt if I've heard it correctly. I guess the way I adapt and make it more accessible for myself is I look at other players quite intensely.
Yes.
I look at their mouths, if they're singing, or their hands, if they're playing, or their whole body. Hopefully they've got some facial expressions, and hopefully we've agreed that there might be a nod as a cue, things like that. So I guess from musicians I work with, I would appreciate more physicality from them.
With Felshigu BSL, is it just you as a musician, or do you have a band as well?
There is a dancer who I like to think of as a musician because there's some rhythmic step dancing. There are two other musicians. They're both hearing, and in the past, in the research and development, I was working with some hard of hearing musicians. There is a percussionist. I think that's quite good for this very rhythmic show with lots of vibration and bass, and there's also a fiddler.
It's good that you have also, by the sounds of it, these very traditional instruments that's a part of the show. And that gives, and I think, again, it goes back down to translating between spoken Gaelic and written English and sign VSL, but also music in itself is a language. And I think it's really interesting to see how, as artists, we're able to explore how music can be used in pieces of work, especially in a context like this.
Yeah, I didn't want to shy away from sound and silence. There's a good mixture of both in the show. And having the dancer sort of, what's the word? Is it synesthesia?
Is
that the right word?
I know what you mean. Synesthesia, yeah. Yes.
Right. The dancer is interpreting the sound of the music.
How did the dancing work? Was it a case of it was choreographed, or was it a case of the dancer was given time to just sort of explore how they would work with the music?
For that piece, it was improvisation that turned into set material with a few pointers from me, where I wanted the dancer and the fiddler to connect and sort of do the same motion that certain highlights in the music. I haven't even said. This show is sort of like a music gig, as in there's not a narrative, but each piece is a different story, and then you give a bit of context. Yeah, that's the way I wanted it to be, because I really hope that music particularly becomes more accessible. But it is very theatrical also because of the elements of sign and dance.
We have here Evie Waddle. She is the writer and performer of Felshegu BSL. We are going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
Good, I'm tired.
Oh, I'm keeping that in. And we're back. So, Evie, I'd just like to ask you a little bit about the inspiration behind this piece. So, there's a very fervent amount of Scottish culture that's explored in this piece. And, you know, we've touched on it ranging from both song to dance to storytelling. Could you give us some examples of Scottish culture that you specifically wanted to include into this piece? And how have you incorporated them?
I took inspiration from Gaelic theatre company I worked with back in 2019 called Theatre Gwyar. I think they're like the first Gaelic theatre. And that company seemed quite excited to work with me because I'm a Gaelic speaker who is deaf and at that point had a little bit of sign language. So they really helped me with my confidence with BSL and also with Gaelic. And this was my first time like connecting both of these languages. And I got to work with an interpreter who had interpreted their previous shows. And yeah, I hadn't done much acting in the past, but I really enjoyed acting like through British Sign Language. So I was sort of, you know, half performer and half interpreting what the other Gaelic actors were saying. And it just strengthened my pride in both these minority languages. And yeah, through that show, I started meeting other deaf artists and audience members. And I remember I was quite emotional as I hadn't met many deaf people before this show. Also, maybe I carry quite a bit of like frustration that there was no sign language in school. So yes. I went deaf in high school. And yeah, it's annoying and it's expensive. And to think that I have to pay money to learn a language that really helps me is strange to me. So what I'm saying is an inspiration was a bit of frustration with the laws there, but also I think I have a little bit of frustration with the Gaelic language, and I hope that Gaelic media becomes more inclusive and accessible, because if I'm watching a Gaelic program, the subtitles are in English, you know, they're written in English.
Yes.
But I would like them to be written in Gaelic so I can follow the Gaelic more that I'm trying to hear.
I find that so interesting that they've gone out their way with the subtitles to translate them into written English when, I mean, I assume that written Gaelic isn't similar to just written English. There is like, you have certain inflections with the letters and the languages.
Even more frustrating.
Yes.
On Gaelic TV, when people occasionally are talking in spoken English, there's not even English subtitles for that.
Oh.
So that definitely assumes a hearing audience, if you know what I mean.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they just cut out no subtitles if there's like a little sentence or two in English.
That's weird. I don't like that.
I wonder if they do that in other cases. I don't know.
It does seem very counterintuitive, doesn't it, in that sense? Yeah. And I do know what you mean. Well, I don't know, but I can appreciate what you mean about like teaching British Sign Language in schools here. Mm. It's honestly a very useful language to know, not just for if you're with a deaf person, but also there will be people across the world who will use British Sign Language. It's not just restricted to people here in the UK. So I would wager that having it as a sort of compulsory thing, getting to know your simple words and your phrases just to communicate with people would really, really help.
Yeah, I wished there was British Sign Language in schools, but maybe more importantly, deaf awareness, because to think I wasn't even aware myself.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to help myself. I didn't know what to ask for. I think that's even more important because it is a big commitment and can be tricky for some people to learn a new language. Another way Gaelic doesn't feel accessible at the moment is because those environments are often chatting in a loud, noisy pub where background traditional music is playing. So it's pretty hard to keep up my Gaelic with the community because the environment's always often noisy.
What about the culture side of Fáilte Go BSL? Were there specific stories or parts of Scottish or Gaelic culture that you wanted to include into the piece specifically?
I wanted to explore step dancing. I wanted to explore walking the tweed. So these are really old traditions, and explain the history behind them. With the songs, I wanted a variety. Wanted what's common in Gaelic songs are lullabies, political songs. I wanted to show a range of the Gaelic themes, but not just the miserable ones. There's quite a lot of miserable war, and I'm a widow, I'm sad, and yeah.
The nice ones, yeah. Tell us a little bit about, so what is it like, walk in the tweed?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So it's spelled W-A-U-L-K-I-N-G, and it's a way to make a material more waterproof. And so you'd have this big bit of cloth on the table, and a group of about eight women would pass this around anti-clockwise while singing to make the work more enjoyable, make pastime. So it was really hard work, and they'd have different speeds and different, yeah, it's kind of like a choreography.
You mentioned that the piece also explores experiences of creative connection and how isolation for diverse cultural Scots is a prolific thing. What did you learn when doing this research, and how have you adapted the experiences you found into Fáilte Go BSL?
It was mainly based on my lived experience, being deaf, how being deaf or in Gaelic medium units at school even can put you on the outside of mainstream culture. So yeah, I drew from these experiences and I try to put them centre stage. But yeah, it can also be tiring having to be the spokesperson of some issues. But I hope that Fáilte Go BSL just celebrates what diverse experiences can bring and try and celebrate all our different perspectives. And yeah, how creative acts can help to overcome feeling of isolation.
I think perspective was the word I was looking for earlier, because it, again, as a piece, it provides a perspective that very few of us have to experience. But I think, again, by offering perspective into the world of you as a deaf person, it offers us as an audience a more bespoke and honestly better way of looking through life, I imagine, if I'm being a bit existential.
There was a little bit of research as well. I put out, like, you know, a survey monkey.
Yes.
a lot of deaf people got back and said, Gaelic's not accessible to us. I've never even been to a ceilidh before. And to think that, you know, a Scottish person has never been to a ceilidh, probably because that environment's difficult. It's difficult to understand the caller, or I don't know what the reason might have been related to their deafness, but surprising that a Scottish person hasn't been to a ceilidh.
Yeah. This is just slight ignorance on my part. How are ceilidhs a regular thing in Scotland? Are they something that you can find easy?
I'd say so, yeah. Well, we did in primary school. It was part of PE at one
really?
Point. Yeah.
That's mad. I love that.
Yeah. yeah, there are often ceilidhs, and I guess I've been to more ceilidhs than most because I was brought up in the kind of traditional music environment.
When audiences come to see the show, what is it that you, if anything, what do you want them to take away?
I don't want to impose anything.
No, of course.
But, whatever you want. I hope everyone can feel that they can get something from the show. Yeah, that seems to be the way so far. Like, we've performed it twice. And I think the visual connection and music can really help people to access Gaelic too, if they're deaf or if they don't speak Gaelic. And I had someone contact me and say how much he enjoyed and appreciated. So that I wasn't performing Fáilte go BSL, but I'm mainly a singer, and sometimes I will perform a few signed songs, even to hearing audiences that come to my gigs. And this audience member said that he appreciated the gestures I was using. So it wasn't until I replied to him that it was BSL. Yeah, in a way, I think it's great if it can feel seamless. They didn't know it's a language, but they still connected. Like in that scenario, I didn't tell the audience it's sign language. I still want people to, you know, appreciate and notice BSL is a language. It's a dynamic language, but gestures are also great, and that person who didn't have BSL could still connect to the what they thought of was gesture.
Evie, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about the show. I do have to ask you, what is the next stage for you and Fáilte go BSL? So what can we expect from you during and post the Edinburgh Fringe?
During, I will be performing this piece on the 12th and 13th of August, and then there will be more touring dates of Fáilte go BSL after. And I guess related to this show, I'm also making a visual EP.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm not just putting music out orally on Spotify where you can't see anything. I'll have three tracks that I'll turn into music videos. And they'll have some signing and dancing and movement, hopefully be a bit more accessible to some audiences.
Evie, where can we follow you online?
It's now called Evie Jo Waddle on Facebook and Instagram. And my website is eviewaddle.co.uk. And I'm also on YouTube. I think that those are all the places. And Bandcamp.
Yes. Don't forget Bandcamp.
Should have led with that.
Evie, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to speak to you and learn about the show.
Thank you.
And that was Evie, writer and performer of Fáilte go BSL. The show plays for two performances on the 12th and the 13th of August. These are in two different locations. So, on the 12th of August, it will be at Deaf Action at the Blackwood Bar. And on the 13th of August, it will be at the Scottish Storytelling Centre's Neverbow Theatre. Performances will begin at 4 p.m. and they will last for 50 minutes. As you've heard, this is going to be, honestly, a really, really interesting and thought-provoking piece. It's going to be one where if you want to learn about BSL, if you want to learn about Gaelic culture, if you want to learn about how the two merge, this is the piece for you. It's got so much like great commentary about what it means to be a deaf person, but also if you just want to go along and enjoy the show for what it is, go. I really encourage that you do it. This is the Edinburgh Fringe Festival special of The Next Stage. We have a whole host of artists on the podcast who are going to be performing at the festival this year. Stay tuned and have a listen to them. We have our picks for who we think are the standouts for this year's festival in the world of theatre and performance. We'll see you at the next stage.